This is Yarrabelly FM 99.1. It's 6:04, the Oz Indie Show. And on the blower here, I've got Sean from Anti-Skeptic.
G'day, Greg.
Good to see you again after all these years.
Many years, hasn't it been?
Because I've got to admit that I caught up with Anti-Skeptic way back at the start. Saw you at Forest Edge Music Festival a couple of times, that sort of thing. Yeah. At Nearham, and then sort of lost track of you. You guys kept going on. I was into other things, and you know, life happens. But yeah, good to see the Skippers are still going.
Yeah, mate, Skippers are still going, or maybe we're back. I'm not sure the right idiom for that. We've had a long 20 plus years together as a band. Lots of changes, times on the field and times off the field, and breakups and hiatuses and returns, and then pandemics.
Oh yeah,
the re-return, which is where we're at now, I guess.
Now I want to go back even further to things we're talking to you, not the other band members. How did you start in music? Did you do that as a kid, or through school, or through family? How did that happen?
Ah, good question. Well, I never had any real interest in playing music. Like everybody else, I liked stuff that I liked. As a kid, I liked hip-hop, actually. Big hip-hop fan.
Ooh.
But never had an interest in playing guitar or anything. And my father was played guitar and loved country music. So I was quite exposed to that. And he tried to teach me, but I had no interest. I didn't want to pick it up. And it wasn't until I was in my teens and I fell in love with this little band from Seattle called Nirvana. I don't know if you've heard of them. And a friend of mine came over to my house and saw my dad's guitar on the corner and picked it up and started playing a couple of Nirvana riffs on it. My jaw dropped and went, yo, how did you do that? I want to do that. Show me how to play that. And it was because of, I guess, my love for that band and that kind of music, and also the desire to just be that guy at the party with a cool trick he can pull out.
Yeah.
When the guitar gets passed around, being able to do a little riff or something on it. And to be quite honest, that's pretty much where I've stayed for the last 30-something years. Yeah, pretty much still learning party tricks and cool riffs and bits to look cool when people watch.
Okay, so that was your music base. Now, how did you team up with the other members, and how did Anti-Skeptic actually form?
Sure, yeah, there's a good question. I was in my first proper band was an instrumental, progressive, melodic doom band called Indecision. And we were a bunch of kids and teenagers. We a lot of us connected through our local church or churches and schools. It was a kind of, that was our thread. And we played shows and did things and met Andrew, who's the singer and guitarist of Anti-Skeptic. He was in another band, and we linked up and became band friends.
Yep.
Did some shows together, because back then there wasn't a whole lot of anything happening. Nowadays, all ages gigs and things like that, it's a done thing, but back then, not really. So we joined forces and became friends and played shows together. And I left my band and joined his band as the singer. And we did some things with that for a time, and then out of nowhere, Andrew turns to me and says, "Hey, Sean, do you want to like do a punk band, just like a side project, just for fun, just to see if we can do it?" And I was like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." Like Blink-182 and MXPX, that kind of thing. He goes, "Yeah, exactly." So as simple as that, we start writing a few songs. We thought they sounded pretty good, but we really should get a drummer. And a mutual friend of ours connected us with Nick, our drummer. He heard some songs on a tape that we recorded for him, and he learnt them.
Yeah.
Like, he literally learnt them. And they had a metronome, you know, in the background, so he was keeping time, and he learnt the structures, he learnt the songs off by heart. And we met up with him for a jam to sort of see how it was all going, all excited to think, oh, this could be really cool, we'll see how it all pans out. I couldn't even remember his name on the night. But we played 5-6 songs seamlessly from start to finish.
Yeah.
As a band. And we were just jaws on the floor, like, what just happened? This doesn't happen. Like, not even in your church band does this happen. Not even in your covers band does it happen. You have to practice this stuff. But it turns out, because we all did our individual work coming together just made it seamless.
Yeah.
So there was magic right from that very beginning. The spark was there. And that was the start of the Anti-Skeptic, in the back of a record store, jamming away between boxes of records.
What better place?
I know, right? It's pretty cool to say, yeah.
Now, you mentioned you wrote some songs and did this and that. In the early days of Anti-Skeptic, who were the songwriters, or was there just one?
Primarily Andrew Kitchen, singer-songwriter extraordinaire. He writes songs like We Eat Lunch.
Yeah.
It just oozes out of him. It's a skill he's crafted, and it's a talent he's got naturally, and it's completely unfair. He will just write songs that are killer like it's nothing. So he was the one with the primary song ideas, and then he'd bring them to me, and I'd go, yeah, what if we try this different? Or what if we do this bit different? So more of an arrangement and composing kind of reflection. Yeah. And we all trust each other's judgment. So there's not bruised egos. There's no, you know, getting their nose out of joint.
Yeah.
We go, oh, yeah, we'll try that idea and see if it works. And Nick is also equally as strong with arrangements and compositions and hearing ideas that Andrew and I won't hear.
Yeah.
As he's not playing guitar or writing melodies and songs, he's the drummer, the backbone, but he hears the song as a whole and goes, nah, that it's missing something. And he's really great at fine-tuning those things and tweaking them.
Yeah.
And I think what you get out of Anti-Skeptic is the perfect combination of Andrew's songwriting, my love for heavy music and hardcore and punk, and Nick's pop sensibilities for making things accessible and work.
Yeah.
And there's a real tension between the three of them. But when they come in together in synergy, you get great songs.
Yeah. Now, I remember in the early 2000s, I mentioned before the Forest Edge Music Festival, and what that was out at a farm at Nearham East, and it was a whole weekend of act after act after act, three stages, yep. I think it was, something like that. And the Skeppers were the most sought after. You hung around for the other bands, right, but you always had in mind at such and such a time on that stage, Skeppers would be on, and you'd all gravitate right. to the Skeppers. And was that a lot of hard work, or did you just find that the music you played just resonated with so many people?
I think I want to say a little column A and a column B, and it's probably still present in our dynamic these days, that we're fiercely independent. Mm-hmm. We have a really strong DIY ethic. We've always done as much as we can as possible by ourselves. And that's meant everything from selling our CDs out the back of our car in cash, shaking hands, meeting people, you know, making connections face to face and doing it in real life.
Yeah.
And also, the music just had an appeal. When we started out, pop punk was birthing and becoming really popular. And we were lucky that, just lucky.
Yeah.
Remove by a few years and it wouldn't have been cool anymore, or it wouldn't have been cool yet.
Yeah.
So there's definitely the luck of the appeal of what's cool at the time.
Mm.
But we built relationships with people and we spent the time, and that's kind of our values.
Yeah.
Kind of coming into it. Like, we see people and we treat them with respect and value them. And so they return that in, you know, like you saw, they come out to your shows.
Yeah.
They turn out in force and give you the support back. And I think that's what you saw a lot of at those festivals and those shows.
Yeah. Now, like a lot of bands, unless you're absolutely mega and making mega bucks, those bands seem to stay around for 50, 60 years, thanks Rolling Stones. Most other bands, they go through periods of being together and then reorganising and other people and different people coming in, and the Skeppers did that. So do you want to tell us a bit of that history?
Yeah, we're not immune to that at all. That's definitely been part of our journey. We were active as the three of us, myself, Nick and Andrew, for a solid 10 years. We sort of kicked off in 1999, late 20th century band. And for 10 years, we just flogged it. We flogged it so hard. We flogged ourselves to the brink.
Yeah.
There was nowhere we wouldn't go. There was no gig we wouldn't do. And I got to the end of that period of time where I actually left the band for a spell around 2003. I had hit burnout big time, and I had significant mental health issues that were impacting on that and my relationships with the guys and not wanting to do it anymore. So I took that sabbatical for a while, but they couldn't find a suitable replacement that would stick. And so I came back reluctantly at first, like, oh, all right, I'll help you out. But then I just stayed because things were better. At the end of 2008, I was done. And the other guys were like, well, it's not really worth pushing on without you, because the magic is the three of us here. So we called it a day and had a big celebration tour and ended it with a live album and a DVD. And
yeah,
I wanted to just chill out and fade out. And they were like, no, let's burn out and explode. it was good. And then, so there was about 3 years there where the band was, we're done. We thought we were legit done. We all moved on to other projects, and I've done music on and off outside of that feed ever since. We did a reunion gig for the art house in the city when they were closing down. We got invited back to do one of their final nights, and it was a terrific show. It was our one-off, and I thought, if you're going to do a reunion show, you know, you make it count. So we did the reunion show. We made it count. But the other guys had a real burning that they wanted to keep doing more. They felt there was unfinished business, you know. They still had chips on the table. Whereas I was quite happy to sort of, no, that was good. I'm happy to step away. So they got busy writing and made another record and got some new players in, an extra guitarist and a new bass player to fill out the lineup and explore some new sonic territory that you can't do as a three-piece. And they did their record and all that usual slog. And finished up in their own sort of way, and it lay sort of uncertain as to what was going to happen.
Yeah.
2019 rocked around, and our friends from Florida and a band from America called Amberlin, they were coming out to do some shows here, and we were lucky enough to get up on one of those.
Yeah.
The guy said, "Hey, Sean, do you want to do this gig with us?" And I was like, "Hell yeah!" And that was pretty much it. This one-off show just sparked it in all three of us, and we just felt renewed because we're all older, more mature. Old wounds have healed. We've grown up, grown apart. It just felt right again, and fun because we'd missed it. There'd been enough time away, and we've got lives and wives and careers and paths ahead of us that, you know, coming back to it, we just needed it too. We were really excited. And we had a bang out in 2019. We toured and did a whole bunch of shows around the country, did some international supports as well. It was like far out. This is huge. And people still wanted to come out and check us out. That response just went, well, maybe there is something in this. Let's explore it. And then COVID happened, mate. And we were like, whoa, crumbs. Okay. Guess we won't be doing any touring for the future, but that left us with some time on our hands, like every other band out there. We can't play gigs. What are we going to do? So we went and wrote a record.
So
9 months, 9 years separated would be the releases. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, a pretty typical story though of bands that form when people are young, because there's no way you stay static. You know, everybody has their own life. All sorts of things happen.
Yeah.
For a band of young people to stay together is really hard work. Yeah. So it's no surprise at all that you guys went through that journey, but really good that after all this time, your lives have settled, things have gelled and firmed up, and now you're back.
Yeah. Well, we've grown individually, and it's also galvanised what we do as the group of us. Like, we're all on the same page. We've all probably got the same level of ability and commitment and availability to do this now. So we're all very aligned and have the same goals. And I think COVID played a big part in, you know, forcing us to stop and review where we were at and what we were going to do.
Yeah.
Because we were just going to milk the nostalgia thing for a while. It was just a total rush. Just had no idea that people would be so excited to see us playing shows. Because for them, it's memory lane. Hearing our music, I remember when I was in high school when you had this song, or I remember when this was on Triple J and in my youth group, or the worst one, my older brother used to listen to this. It's like, yeah, thanks, mate. This really make you feel old. But that stuff carries over into sentiment and, of course, you know, support.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're hoping that people will be excited to hear something new from us.
Yeah, well, something new. I've got your latest track release, Young Hearts, that we'll be playing soon. And that's That's one of the singles that are coming out from Andy Skeptic over this year, leading up to something that, you know, might be bigger. But yeah, for Young Hearts to come out, what was the basis of that? Is there a sort of a storyline behind Young Hearts?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the songwriting side of things came around that Andrew just had a cool idea. He riffed it, wrote it down at home, demoed it, and then sent it to us, and we all flipped out and went, "This is sick, man. This is like, where'd this come from? Write 10 more." And, well, actually, truth be told, we wrote about 40 songs for this record, and this song remained on the top of our lists of songs. We were like, yeah, this is the keeper. It's thematically about getting older, so surprise, surprise, getting older and realizing that you've spent your youth, you know, you've had your young time in the sun, and looking back, are we happy with who we've become? Are we proud of the people that we've become? Not just the art we've made and the places we've gone, but are we who we wanted to be?
Yeah.
And are we okay with that? It's just asking a question, and it's all about reflection on that. And we beat your ears to death with that chorus. So, the message is clear.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
And Young Hearts, where can people get that? Because it's released now, or it almost?
No, this will all be available on streaming and all the places on Friday.
Okay.
This Friday, 15th. It'll be on all streaming services everywhere, Bandcamp, YouTube, Spotify, you name it, you'll find it. We're putting a lot of effort into getting this music out to everybody to hear it, because this is the first thing we've done new in a long time.
Yeah.
We're really, really proud of it. It sounds huge. It's a huge anthem. And just wait for the hooks in the chorus there, man. It's big.
All right. Thank you very much, Sean. Young Hearts, first day play in the world, I think, right here on the Oz Indie Show, Yarra Valley FM. Thank you very much for letting us do this and giving us your time for a chat. Listeners, check it out on Bandcamp, Andy Skeptic, and follow or click or whatever you do on Bandcamp, and look for more, because there's more coming.
Yep, you bet.
Okay, this is Young Hearts, Andy Skeptic.
Tune in, turn on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
I hope you enjoyed that chat with Sean from Andy Skeptic, the first play of the new track Young Hearts on Australian Radio. Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the Oz Indie Show.